Welcome. Today I will be talking to you about testing a monitoring and evaluation system for the Ebola response effort. I had the pleasure to work with many colleagues on this project. Colleagues from the World Health Organization included Dr. Davison Munandawafa, Peter Forey, and Ephraim, as well as colleagues in my own office at the World Health Organization Collaborating Center in Kansas, Dr. Fawcett, Florence, and Jerry, and Chuck Siepers. So they're not here with me, but I would like to recognize them. I have nothing to disclose. This is a brief presentation map of kind of what I'll walk you through. First, I will be introducing you to the World Health Organization Collaborating Center in Kansas, and then really delving deeper into the effort that we evaluated related to Ebola. So I will tell you a little bit about the Ebola outbreak, and then we'll get into the methods. I'll show you what the system looks like, the evaluation system, and kind of what we looked at. And then the results, I'll focus on sense making, or how we made sense of the data, as well as lessons learned, and then I will conclude. So the KU Work Group for Community Health and Development is a WHO collaborating center. It was designated as that in 2004. And basically, our role is to provide support for building capacity through the community toolbox. The community toolbox is open source, free online resources of how-to guidance. So how to build leadership, how to engage community members, just how to run a meeting and things like that. So we provide support through that, as well as training and technical assistance for monitoring and evaluation, and then just general guidance for WHO regional offices. We mainly work with the Americas, PAHO, but in the last 7 years, we really started to collaborate and work closely with WHO Africa regional office. So we were already working on a evaluation system to evaluate a project across 10 African countries, and then Ebola hit. And when Ebola hit, our colleagues contacted us and said, okay, well, we're tasked with evaluating the effort, but at the same time, you know, we will have to put those other projects to the side and really focus our efforts. Will you be able to help us? And because we already had the system going for us, it was developed at the University of Kansas, we already had the capabilities, it was just a little, you know, design tweaks and things like that that we could do on our end. So it was the opportunity to help, and it was the capabilities that were already available that really made this collaboration work. So the Ebola outbreak, as you know, was the longest and largest in the history of the disease. It had enormous health, social, economic consequences for the not just West Africa, but Africa in general. And then the intense transmission was due to a few factors. First, you know, the delayed identification of the disease. The disease was identified months later, and that was a huge setback. As well as denial, fear, and panic of the communities. This, you know, spread false rumors about the disease, and everyone had a limited understanding of Ebola in the beginning. I mean, including the CDC. There were things that were just not working right, and the protocols were different and that kind of thing. So it took us a while to actually, you know, get it together. And then when we did find out what to do about Ebola, there was little to no capacity for actual diagnosis and treatment. And then another setback was that community health workers or volunteers were providing home-based care. In the beginning, they were not paid to actually provide care. So a lot of the volunteers decided, okay, I'm gonna go door to door for those who need assistance, for Ebola patients who need assistance, and I'm going to get paid through, you know, different families. And so it was their way of, you know, making income, but it was detrimental to their health because a lot of the community health workers actually developed Ebola through contact with home-based care, not the Ebola treatment unit care, because they had protective equipment. And so, again, that was a huge setback. So in this monitoring and evaluation effort, there were two participating communities, Lofa County and Margibi County in Liberia. And so this collaboration was between the KU Collaborating Center and WHO Afro. We just evaluated the key activities that were occurring because no one had any idea about what was actually implemented within those counties yet. But we actually did not do the actual interventions. The interventions were done by local, national, regional, and international organizations. So those included local women and youth groups, but it also included, you know, CDC, UNICEF, the UN in general, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Education, and so on and so forth. So there was a lot of collaboration going on at the ground level. We just needed to know what were the key activities that were implemented there to really bend the curve on the Ebola cases. And I'll explain what that means. So the Ebola response effort really focused on changing the conditions, changing the environment. And this really included reducing exposure. So some examples of those included chlorinated water, buckets for sanitation, as well as safe burials, protective equipment, that kind of thing. Addressing vulnerabilities and capabilities, and it included being educated about Ebola and then being trained on, you know, protective behaviors, as well as engaging community members. And then reducing differential consequences by providing access to Ebola diagnosis and treatment, engaging Ebola survivors, you know, providing transportation, those kind of efforts. So the intervention components included 8 different components, like situation assessment, preparing the workforce through training, delivering services, environmental changes, policy changes, and health system and community transformation. So for example, policy changes includes, okay, the markets are closed, you know, for the next 3 weeks, and that was a policy change at the country level. So here's kind of a little bit of how we captured these. So at the KU work group, we designed the monitoring and evaluation system. And then in Liberia, there was a Liberia-based evaluation consultant who's also an author in this presentation. He served as the primary observer. We trained Ephraim on how to code these different activities, because each activity had to be coded in a certain way. So was this activity a community change or was it a service provided? And then a KU team member, usually me, provided feedback on monthly reports. So I served as the secondary observer. So he would use the code book and code the activities that were occurring in Liberia, and I would, from my office, code them and then see kind of, do we agree on those, yes or no? And then 92% of the time we actually agreed on coding the activity similarly. If not, I usually send them an email or set up a Skype meeting to really make sure, am I understanding this correctly? Is it, you know, a mistake on my part? And kind of talking about the activity more deeply. And then also WHO Afro computed the incidence of Ebola for us, and it included confirmed, suspected, and probable cases. So here's kind of a little bit of the monitoring evaluation approach that we took. It was a participatory evaluation approach. And so if you start with capture, top left, so we captured the activity, and that included, okay, who did what, when, for what goal. So for example, the Carter Foundation provided 300 buckets of chlorinated water for communities in Lofa to sanitize their homes, for example. So that's capture. Coding then becomes, okay, what is this activity? And if you look at the bottom of the slide, so you can code the activity as a resource generated, which includes things like money coming in for the effort, or consultants, or volunteers, so any resource that's being generated. Development activities included things like meetings, assessments, anything to really get the project going. Community and systems changes include things like the policy I was referring to earlier, you know, the market will close down, or a new or modified program policy or practice. Services provided are anything that you provide a service for. So for example, the chlorinated buckets of water, that is a service that you're being providing for the community. These all lead to intended or unintended outcomes, and then dissemination efforts was also one of the codes. After you code the activity, you characterize them. So which sectors were involved, which community members, was it for traditional, was this training for traditional leaders or was it for community members, that kind of thing. And then communicating that information through graph displays or data displays. So here's what the system looked like. The first arrow, the blue arrow, is the capture piece. So add an accomplishment, add indicator data, evaluate, and then the second one was communication, view graphs, view indicators, that kind of thing. The first arrow refers to the capture piece I was telling you about. So the Liberia-based consultant, he'll just type in, okay, who did what, when, for which goal, and then he'll code them, which is, you know, through the code book. And then he'll characterize them, like by sector, the primary group to benefit, and such. Here are the results, or communicating the data. So as you can see, these are the graphs for LOFA on your left, and then on your right, Margibi counties. And the bar graph shows confirmed, probable, and suspected cases of Ebola. And then the line graph shows the Ebola response activities that were occurring within the counties, within both counties. So the flat line shows that there were no activities occurring. The steeper the line, the more activities that were occurring. And through the monitoring and evaluation system, we have a sense-making feature, which really asks the questions, what are we seeing, what does it mean, and what are the implications for adjustments? So I just picked the LOFA graph to really dig deeper as to what's really happening over time. So if you start with me on your left, and then we'll kind of move that way. The WHO confirmed Ebola, that there was an Ebola outbreak in March. And so it was hectic, and people didn't know kind of what to do and that kind of thing. So then the Ebola efforts were suspended a month later because it was a lot bigger than what we thought it was going to be, and we did not know kind of how to, they didn't know, people implementing were just implementing, and they didn't know what was happening and what we needed to do. So they needed to regroup. So they suspended all efforts to regroup. And then after that, as you can see, a senior WHO staff was deployed there. And after that, things really got going with building the Ebola treatment units and so on and so forth. So the WHO declared Liberia Ebola free in May, but then again, as you know, there were some Ebola cases, and then later in September, it was again declared Ebola-free. So some lessons that we learned was that using a monitoring and evaluation system was important in capturing key activities. And this really helped us to understand that community engagement was critical in bringing about community and systems changes. The intervention also required sustained and coordinated intersectoral action. And then the WHO's convening power was important in bringing everyone around the table. So some recommendations for practice: strengthening the local health system first, and then building capacity and sustained leadership through training and technical support. And then also establishing an Africa-based forum, because a lot of the meetings were occurring outside the continent. And then addressing social determinants of health that are the root cause of these outbreaks, like reducing differential exposures, addressing vulnerabilities, and reducing differential consequences. Our current work is to address Ebola in the African region. So Currently, I am working on an action toolkit of how-to tools, how to mobilize, assess, plan, act, evaluate, and sustain, and this is just a sneak peek of what the website will look like. It will be available for all WHO personnel, but not only that, but any organization that finds this information useful. Bill Figge, author of House on Fire, which I encourage you to read if you have not, said that with evaluation, you get what you inspect, not what you expect. And in this case, because we didn't know what was going on in the actual counties, we got what we inspected, really, not what we expected. To conclude, I wanted to just remind everyone that all of us bring a piece, that we have a piece to bring, and that collaboration is very important. We learned this through this project, but also through other projects, that to assure community health and well-being, we all need to work together as different disciplines. No problem will be addressed by just one discipline. And so I kind of want us to also think about that as well. And then there's an African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I hope that within your work that you want to go far. And thank you.